This is all about the fall. The Bible says, "For God doth know." This is the devil right in the middle of the temptation that we started studying last week. The devil then says to Eve, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is that that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You say, oh yeah, somebody else's fault. Now, you see, in this study, you're going to see elements of human nature that exist right now, and you've used some of this stuff even in the last 24 hours or last week, certainly, if not in the last 24 hours. What happened in our last study last week is that the devil convinced Eve to give up the authority of God's words by causing doubt, yea, if God said, and then subtraction, taking out freely, and addition, adding the words, "And thou shalt not touch it," and changing it, "Lest thou die," and lying about it, "Thou shalt not surely die." The devil effectively convinced Eve to give up the authority of God's words. And when you don't have the authority of God's words in your life, then you are absolutely vulnerable at every moment to deception. God gave us the authority of His words to guide us. See that? "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And so that's what the devil effectively had to do, was first of all destroy the authority of God's words in her life, which he did, and then he went in for the kill. And he used two things to get her. One, he convinced her that she could achieve a higher level of spirituality on her own. And secondly, he only emphasized the positive qualities, the good qualities of the tree God told her not to eat. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what's going on today with every religion, and that's what's going on today with a lot of preaching and teaching. Whenever in school they teach this thing called situation ethics, it depends on the situation as to how you should respond, they're only telling you the good side. The devil did not tell Eve about murder, cancer, heart disease, broken homes, backbiting, evil surmisings, clamor, bitterness, anger, hatred, bombs, mosquitoes, ticks, hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes. He didn't tell her any of that stuff. And all of that was associated with the tree. She just couldn't see it. He wouldn't show it to her. And so a lot of preaching today is demonic when, or a lot of teaching today is demonic when, it only emphasizes the good. And there are good things that need to be emphasized. But the balance is there are also bad things. That's the balance. There's heaven, there's hell. There's light, there's darkness. There's evil, there's good. Those things have to, and they weigh out in balance. And so the devil refused to give her that. And so we need to be, you know, this idea that we need to find something good and everything needs to be very positive and upbeat, that thing is not from the Lord. Not from the Lord. All right, now this higher level of spirituality. Here he says, "God doth know in the day that ye eat," verse 5, "that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." You know something? There is an element in your human nature, just like there was in Eve's human nature then, to want to get higher up in spiritual matters. And the devil has all kinds of things in his toolbox to convince you that you can do that on your own, outside of God's words. The Book of Mormon, the Koran, couple of good examples of religious books that are used to increase a man's spirituality. Have you ever noticed when men get in arguments about their religions, they're always, each one always thinks his is better than anybody else's in the world? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm an independent Baptist by convictions that I came to over time, but let me tell you something. I don't think the independent Baptist religion is better than any religion of the world. You know what I think is better than anything in the world? Jesus Christ. I think Christianity is better than anything in the world. But the idea that one religion is better than all the religions of the world, I don't go for that at all. I think all religions stink, as far as religions go, because they're always set up to give me pride that I'm better than everybody else in the world. And I'm not. I'm a sorry, no good, dirty, rotten sinner, thank God, saved by the grace of God and washed in His blood. And that's the only distinction I have. So all this stuff is to build me up. Keeping the law is something that the devil uses in order to build a man's righteousness. I did this, I did that. The young man comes to Jesus and he says, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, keep the commandments. And he says, which ones? And he gives him five commandments. He says, all these have I kept from my youth up. The man was on his way to hell. But he was proud of his spirituality. The Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I have, and I thank you that I'm not like other men are. See, that stuff is to build up that spirituality, and that's what sends people to hell faster than any other thing in the world. And it's what caused Eve eventually to succumb to the temptation. Speaking in tongues, the sacraments, meditation, visions, dreams, you name it. Whatever it is that says, I got something, I got a corner on God that you don't have. That all that stuff is designed to build up your spirituality. And what it does is it builds your spiritual pride. And when that happens, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. It's no good. It leads to no good. So that's the first thing he did is he convinced her, you're going to be like a god. You're going to be as gods, a higher level of spirituality. The next thing he did is he emphasizes the positive qualities of this tree. Look at this in verse 6. When the woman, get this word, three little letters, great big word, saw. You know, the guys that are teaching say, if I could just get you to see this, I believe you'd understand what I'm trying to tell you. That's all, I just want you to look at this thing. When she saw three things about the tree, good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know, we're warned in Romans chapter 16 about these matters, and the devil is the master of this. Look in Romans 16, verse 18. We're warned about these things. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and, here it is, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Even when the Antichrist comes in, he'll preach peace, and he'll come with flattery. And the devil's the master of this thing. Absolute master of this thing. You know, somebody falls into sin, and they say, well, I didn't see anything wrong with it. See? I didn't see anything wrong with it. Or what's wrong with me? Mom comes down hard on one of the children, you know, and the kid says, well, I didn't see anything wrong with it. What's wrong with doing that, Mom? Well, the what's wrong with it is, huh? Everybody else is doing it, right? It hadn't hurt them. Why should it hurt me? It hurts because it is out from underneath the authority that was established in your life. And so he gave her the good stuff to get her out, to entice her away from that. Now, look at 1 John 2:16, and notice that there are three main areas of temptation. 1 John 2:16. Three main areas of temptation. And look what they are. 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, three, here they are. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three areas of temptation. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It doesn't mean that He was tempted with specifically the same thing that tempted you, Tony, or that tempted me. It just means He was tempted in the same areas. And we saw those temptations. When did you ever see Jesus Christ tempted in the Bible? When he went out into the wilderness. Exactly, he was tempted. And he was tempted when he fasted there in the wilderness there for 40 days and 40 nights. All right, what three temptations did the devil throw at him? First of all, change these stones into bread. What was that? That's the lust of the flesh. And she says about the tree, it was good for food. And then he says, okay, I'm going to take you up to this pinnacle on the temple and cast yourself down, because there's a verse in Psalms that says the angels will come and catch you so that you don't dash your foot upon a stone. Appealing to pride. The pride of life. And Eve says, a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know something? I have and you have no wisdom apart from Jesus Christ and His book. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, He is made unto us our wisdom. And then he says to him, he says, I'll take you up to this mountain above all these mountains, and I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give these to you, because I have the power to give them to whomever I want. Appealing to the lust of the eyes. Look at all this I can rule over. And she says, a tree that is pleasant to the eyes. See, that thing is exact. What he established as a pattern in Genesis chapter 3 is confirmed at the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, and right in the middle, verified in the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know the three things you need to watch? The flesh, the eyes, and pride. That's where he's coming. That's where he's coming. He establishes the pattern. Well, Eve didn't see it. All she could see is, hey, man, this is great. And then she was deceived. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and notice, look at verse 14. You might have known this, but I don't know if you knew this. Adam wasn't deceived. I don't know if you didn't know that. Adam wasn't deceived in this temptation. Eve was. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So evidently then, and you'll see it in a minute, when Adam eats the fruit, it's not out of deception, it's out of another motive. With Eve, it's totally, huh? It's out of love. It's out of love for Eve. It's absolutely a different deal. That thing she's deceived because she couldn't see anything wrong with the tree, and she was no longer under the authority of God's words. Okay? Just look on the bright side of things. And following that, she disobeyed. She disobeyed. He said, out of love, look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, because that's absolutely right. About two lessons ago, we studied Eve's formation from Adam's rib. Remember that? And in that lesson, we saw probably a half a dozen ways that Eve is a type of the church and Adam is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Eve actually comes forth from his body just like the church comes forth from Christ's body. Adam had to experience something similar to a death in that deep sleep. Jesus had to die in order to bring forth his bride. All those things are similarities. And so if those things are true, look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loveth the church. Loved the church and gave himself for it. Eve comes in there and he knows right away there's been a change. And she says, I ate it and I didn't die. Would you eat it? And he knew it was wrong. He had God's word on the thing. He wasn't deceived about all the good stuff. He already began to see the horror show, whatever was going on in her physical countenance that demonstrated sin. And he was motivated by one thing. Adam, do you love me enough to die for me? And that's the theme of every Hollywood romance movie that's ever been made. The hero always has to prove his love by being willing to die for his girlfriend, the heroine. All right, so after they sin, what's the reaction? You got a couple of things that happened to them. Orville, do you love her enough to die for her? Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 7, their eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were ashamed. First reaction, absolutely ashamed of what they'd done. And you know something? Every one of us in here today is wearing clothes, thank God, because we're ashamed to be seen naked. Even in Europe, where they head out to those beaches and do that topless sunbathing and stuff like that. When they're walking around in town and commerce and stuff like that, they're clothed. Generally, they have to get drunk or high to take off the clothes. That's Habakkuk 2:15. We looked at that when we studied the grapevine. That woe unto thee that puttest a neighbor to your bottle to your neighbor's lips, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. That's what that's all about. They were ashamed. Now, little bitty kids are just like Adam and Eve were when they were in the garden. They run around naked and they don't think anything of it, boy. But you know, just get a little bit of age on them and no way, mama. That's the first thing. It shows you the progress. The actual thing in the Bible was so their innocence. Once they lost their innocence, they were ashamed. The second thing is they were afraid. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why? Verse 10. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I was afraid. They hid themselves for fear at the sound of God's voice. And you know something? There is a conscience inside of us. I don't know if the conscience was there in innocence or if it came after the sin. But I know it's there now. And that conscience basically says, smoking's not right. So the first time you ever took a puff on a cigarette, you went and hid somewhere where nobody could see you. Now, after you got brave and stuff like that, you know, you began to flaunt it around. But first time for all that kind of stuff, it's off where you're hiding, where somebody cannot see what's going on. You got that from Adam and Eve. It's part of your human nature, and it comes down, and you see it right here in the fall. Now, what do? As a result of their shame and their fear, they try three things every man will try before he'll ever come to Jesus Christ. First thing they did is self-righteousness. They sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. And from then on, the fig tree in the Bible is a picture of self-righteousness. It is a picture of Israel in their self-righteousness when they won't receive Jesus Christ as a Savior. You know what kind of tree it was that Jesus Christ cursed right before his crucifixion? Fig tree. Because he came to the nation of Israel looking for fruit, and there wasn't any fruit on it. So he cursed that tree, and it's a picture of that. Men will try self-righteousness. Can you give me one verse of Scripture from memory about the fallacy of trusting your own righteousness? Huh? Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, ma'am. The ways of death? Yeah, and which says? All your stuff is filthy. Well, that's the errant paraphrase, but that's that's a good shot. It's the right location. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the key word. That Bible says God, he made him, that's God made Jesus Christ, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If God doesn't give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ, there's nothing in this world that will cover your sin. Nothing. All right, then the next thing they tried was evasion. They hid themselves. You know, that is a profound statement concealed right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. They hid themselves from what? Huh? From the what? Presence of the Lord. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Do you know why men won't come to church where the Bible's being preached? Because it draws them too close to the presence of the Lord. And when they want to continue in the sin that they have, they don't want to be anywhere near anybody who is going to use that book to point out their sin. Now, they'll go to a church where there's nothing preached on sin, but it's all just the emphasizing the good stuff. And there's a kind of light, make me feel good type of preacher. They'll go to that. But to go where somebody's going to pick up a book and say, one of the darkest, deepest, most horrible sins of your life is envy. And the guy's just envy, you know. And it's, how'd you like the service today? Oh, it's good, preacher. I plan to come back next week. You lying dog. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, they don't want to be anywhere near real Bible preaching. You don't even have to be rude. You don't have to be, you know, hard. You just say, now, bless God, you know, I'll tell you something, folks, we really need to concentrate on. We really don't need to be jealous of each other anymore. The Holy Spirit's over there going, I'm talking to you, bud. They don't want to be there for that. And the other thing they don't want is they don't want that book. Anything but that book. Now change it. Change it. So it doesn't say what it says so loudly. Bob Jones Sr. had it nailed. He was right on the money. He said, that book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that book. You know why? When you open it up, the presence of the Lord is in there. And evasion, if I can stay out of church and away from that book, I can keep on hiding from the presence of the Lord. I don't think so. You know what they were? They were naked, weren't they? Look in Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verses 12 and 13. This is, you've seen this before, but look at it in the context of what we're studying right now. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick, that means it's alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what gets them nervous. Watch it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Notice it's the book, but it's His sight. You see, you notice that? The book is God's sight in this matter. All things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You open that thing up and you are just sewed up in fig leaves, and He's looking right through them, and you just go, just shudder, you know. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And then blame. That's the third thing they tried. Y'all all giggled when we read that part. Adam says, it's God, the woman that thou gavest me. Her fault and your fault. If you hadn't given me this help meet, some kind of help she's been. You know, all of us have probably thought that at a time. But anyway, and then she blaming the devil, you know. See, blaming the devil. And today, that's where they are. They blame the devil for their sinful problems. They blame the devil. They blame the way they were raised. Hey, it was my parents' fault. Or their genetics. You know, I mean, they've even got homosexuals now that are saying, it's my genetic disposition. I don't have any choice in this matter whatsoever. It's sin. It's sin, and you cannot blame anybody but yourself when you choose to go into sin. And you have to stand before God totally accountable for your sin. The only time you're ever going to quit blaming anybody else is when you repent. That's why repentance is such an important part of salvation, because you're basically saying, yeah, you're right, God, I'm the one who's responsible for this. I'm sorry, and I'm wrong. You're right. Yeah, I get saved. And you know something? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in 6,000 years of history, just like it was when they started. Amen. Any questions or comments on the lesson? All clear? You know what it is? You know what it is? It's like looking in a mirror, isn't it? We do what our ancestors have done before. It's exactly the way we handle this stuff. And thank God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. And thank God He tenderized our hearts enough where we can come in our filthiness and accept His reproof and rebuke and be cleaned up by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen.